for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is Sunday afternoon, September 4th, 2005. This is the 115 Ladies Meeting. Gail Patton is speaking on witchcraft, Harry Potter.
Okay, I'm really glad that, you know, this camp, it's been kind of amazing to me. This camp has been so concentrating on witchcraft. And that is the subject I picked for my talk. And it's interesting that Dr. Null didn't touch on anything I was going to say. I thought, oh my gosh, he's going to talk about what I'm going to talk about. And he didn't. But that's good. I thought, well, this is great. Dr. Null is kind of leading into what I want to say. And one of the reasons I picked this subject is because, you know, years ago,
many years ago, we thought that there wasn't much witchcraft in the U.S. And we've been noticing everywhere, not just at the camp, but that there's more and more of a pervasive influence of witchcraft in our society. And we can all remember back to when not much witchcraft in our society. Now, people like Leanne, she hasn't lived without quite an influence in our society. I mean, she's young. And there's been a big influence on witchcraft in our society since she was born. How old are you? 16.
Yeah.
We all have been feeling the witchcraft crunch for the last 16 years. Mm-hmm. But Leanna, she doesn't think our society's changed. How does she know our society's changed? Society's been that way since she's been here. She doesn't think back to when, oh, witchcraft was over there, you know, overseas or in South America or, you know, various different places. She doesn't think of it that way. She thinks of witchcraft being right here with us. And it's even more pervasive in her world than it is in our world, because her world doesn't know a whole lot about the Bible. Her world doesn't really know a whole lot about what the Bible says about witchcraft. We have got to be able to get our mindset into her world, because we're going to lose our generation if we don't.
Amen.
Now, I really do appreciate what some of the speakers have said about our generation. This new generation is really going to be on fire for the Lord. And that's true. I do believe that, because where sin abounds, more does grace abound.
Yes.
And so they are going to be, she's going to be a light in the world for witchcraft, because as she is influencing her friends, she has a lot more knowledge about it, because she's been learning about it for a while. She's got people around her that know what the Bible says about it. She's learning what the Bible says. Kids out there, they don't know what the Bible says about it. They don't know how to separate truth from fiction. They don't know how to separate lies from facts. Their world is covered up with witchcraft. Most of the programs on TV have a lot of witchcraft in it. Most of the program on TV have quite a bit of occult, but most of them have a lot of witchcraft.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to talk too much about occult, although witchcraft, they go back and forth. They're very, you know, it's hard to separate occult from witchcraft, because they are so mixed up together. The witchcraft, I incorporate so much occult, and there are so many different kinds of witchcraft today. Basically, what I'm trying to do today is ring the alarm. I'm sure we're all alarmed about the pervasiveness of witchcraft in our society. But it's time we get more alarmed. It's more time we realize that we've got kids sitting in Sunday school class or sitting in church that really don't have a clue about what the Bible says. When they hear things on TV, it's all mixed up in their mind. I remember when I was 5 years old, I had a hard time separating Santa Claus from God. Well, kids are having a hard time now separating what does God say and what does witchcraft say, and they're all mixed up together because they don't know what God says. So who's going to tell them? We are. We're going to tell them. We need to learn how to talk to people. We need to learn how to talk to Christians. Do you know how many Christians are asleep on the subject of witchcraft?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the ones you know.
Right.
And you're going to wake them up. You're going to be the one that rings the alarm and wakes people up. Because if we don't do it, who will?
All right.
We're the ones that come to the deliverance camp. We know how many demons there are related to witchcraft because we've seen them come out. We've seen people talk about it. We've seen people talk about how they're influenced and they didn't even hardly know it. We've heard testimony after testimony on this. But the people we know have it. Some of the people in our generation still think that witches are in South America. They're over in Haiti. The witchcraft is not that pervasive. Maybe they haven't even turned on the TV. You cannot turn on the TV without seeing witchcraft on it. And there are more programs. There's a new program called Medium. Now that's occult and witchcraft. There's probably other programs since Medium came on.
Arrested Development.
Of course, that was before Medium.
Yeah, but
yeah, there's a lot of them. But I'm not going to say all that I was going to say, so don't panic about me trying to go through all my notes. Because I know we don't have that much time. But I do want to talk about certain aspects of witchcraft. And what I want you to do with that card that you've got is when I bring up a subject of something where when I talk about something that rings a bell with you, either for your past, your ancestors, generational things, I may say something and I go, oh yeah, that reminds me of something that in my generational background that I probably have something of, like way back in your generation, some of there's probably, I don't know, some kind of voodoo or Indian something or other, isn't it way with everybody? Okay. So, if I ring a bell or something and you think, oh yeah, my great-great-grandfather was an Indian, he probably did that, write it down on the card. See what I mean? Whatever it is that I might say that has to do, there's a lot of Catholic witchcraft. You've got Catholicism in your background, you've got witchcraft in your background. So write that down. When something clicks, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to write down anything that could be, you think, a generational witchcraft thing. The other thing I want you to do is I want you to write down any sin that you think you've been into, which, like, Patty has talked about how much deliverance she's gotten from Catholicism. So she's already repented from that. But if there's anything that she thinks, oh, you know, I might have missed this or that, or I just got rid of a lot of Mariology demons just the other day. Maybe there's some more. So write it, you know, anything that comes to your mind, think of it. And then the other thing I want you to write down is how you are influenced around you by other people in society, in church, on various different forms of witchcraft. And when something like that comes up, then write it down. Like, for instance, rebellion. We are all have a problem with rebellion.
Yeah.
And the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now I'm just going to go over some of these verses and stuff. I'm just going to leave them out because we all know what some of this stuff is. So everybody write down rebellion. We've all experienced witchcraft in the church. If you haven't been influenced by a Jezebel in Christianity, then you are a rare bird. So write down Jezebel. Write down charismatic witchcraft. I don't like that word, charismatic witchcraft, because I consider myself a charismatic Christian. But that word, when we talk about charismatic witchcraft, we're basically talking about witchcraft in the church. Witchcraft that we're influenced through the church. So everybody's got Jezebel or charismatic witchcraft influence. So, those are three things. If you think you've had influence from your generational past, write it down. If you think you've had influence because of your own personal sin, you've gotten into the various types of witchcraft, whatever it may be, as I go over various things, you might think of it. Like, for instance, somebody. I hope you don't mind me saying this. What's your name again? I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Tony.
Oh, Tony?
Tony.
No, Tony. Okay. Tony brought up something the other day that I thought, well, I never knew what that was until she was talking about it. It's called chicken charms. Anybody heard of chicken charms?
If you don't know what chicken charms is, ask Tony. She'll tell you all about it. I'm not gonna tell you, but there's a lot of influence out there that we can be influenced, and we don't even know what it was at the time when it happened to Tony. She was very confused about whether it could be something that this guy's a Christian. You know, I don't think so. What's this chicken thing? But anyway, a lot of things are like that in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's witchcraft. And we don't really realize it. And we need to be aware of it and stop it in its tracks. If you're talking to a Jezebel or a charismatic witch, all charismatic witches are not Jezebel. There are a lot of charismatic witches that are seemingly wonderful Christians, and they're going to deceive you. I want to just read something here really quick here. You know, in Isaiah 44:20, it talks about how if you're deceived, you don't know it. Because that's the nature of deception. Yeah, you don't
know it.
If you know it, then you're not deceived. So you're going to need to try the spirits. Be on your toes. Isaiah 44 says, a deceived heart has turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? That's Isaiah 44:20. You cannot discern it. So you're going to have to learn to be on your toes for the discerning spirits, trying spirits. Because you can be deceived. We can all be deceived. Okay. I want to talk about a couple of... Oh, my gosh. Did you see this? I just mixed up all my cards that were in order. That's okay. That's okay. I'm trying to leave all this stuff out anyway. Now, if you want to know where that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft is, let's see, I had that card out. 1 Samuel 15:22-23. I'm not going to read the verse. But I'm going to read one. Let's read. We've read Deuteronomy 18:13 many times. Deuteronomy 18:19. I've got it here on the floor somewhere, but that's okay. Talks about witchcraft. There's a lot of verses that talk about witchcraft. I'm going to pass out some sheets that have a bunch of these verses on them. And let me just say a couple of words about the rebellion thing. Deuteronomy 18:13 says, "Thou shalt be perfect, entirely obedient."
Some help?
Oh, okay. I'll get you to do that in just a minute. I'll hand it to you. Okay. I'm going to pass out some sheets that have some verses, so it doesn't matter that much that I don't go over them all. But let's look at Deuteronomy. You don't have to turn to it, but I just want to tell you about Deuteronomy 18:9-12. Talks about a lot about witchcraft. There's a lot about the occult. But on the 13th verse, says, "Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God." And in that place it says, "entirely obedient." So, Clement said the other day, believe means believing obedience. So when we are disobedient to God, that's what rebellion is. And we have many forms of rebellion. Whether we bristle up at our pastor or bristle up at our husbands, it doesn't matter. It's all rebellion. Because God speaks to us through our husbands and through our pastors, through various people, and the Bible is full of verses about how rebelling against God, not listening to God, is witchcraft. There are so many verses on that, I just can't tell you, but I'm not going to go into it all. In many of these verses, it talks about it's an abomination. Witchcraft is an abomination. I think we all know what the word abomination means. And we all here are committed Christians. And we don't want to do abominable things that the Lord doesn't like. So we want to be committed to not being into any kind of witchcraft. But we need to sound the alarm for fellow Christians. Because they don't know that they can turn on Buffy the Vampire Slayer and receive some of those demons. You accept the kids especially, because kids are not able to discern a lie from the truth. And kids can turn on the TV and see something that looks wonderful and say, "Oh boy, that's great." But those are the kinds of things that open the doors for demons. And
You know, on the charismatic witchcraft thing, I just want to say a couple more things about that. Basically, it's someone who may be trying to control you for their own benefit. Basically, that's what Christian witchcraft is. And it could be a dictatorial pastor that has formed the soul ties with you, because you're not even realizing that you're listening to him instead of the Lord, or listening to him instead of your husband. Consider the definition of witchcraft when you think about charismatic witchcraft or Christian witchcraft. Part of that definition includes enchantment, irresistible influence, fascination, bewitching attraction or charm, something that charms or delights greatly, great delight or pleasure, captivation, allurement. There are things like this all around us that are and when you think of something that you can think of that I'm talking about, write it down on the card, because we're gonna get rid of it today. You've got a soul tie with a pastor or a soul tie with some preacher that came through. We're gonna get rid of it today. Put that preacher down on your card. When someone tries to control you or manipulate you in the name of Christianity, beware of soul ties, because that's something a point at which you need to try the spirits. You realize that somebody, Cheryl has talked about this a lot, where people come into your life and they're trying to manipulate you. You need to try the spirits and realize when somebody's trying to manipulate you. You don't want to be manipulated by anybody but Jesus. You can be manipulated by Jesus, but when it's a person, you want it to be your choice, not a manipulation. That's the kind of witchcraft that you're coming against. You just come against it right then. Right then, you don't have to come against that person. That person may not even know they're trying to control you. They may not even know that it's your pastor's job to tell them they're a Christian witch. Because there's a lot of them. I know a pastor that got fired because of a woman who called this person, that person, this person, that person, and stirred up lies about the pastor. Well, his supervisor believed it, and he's fired. He was a wonderful pastor, had a wonderful revival in the church. People, and really, this witch did not like her boat rocked. She didn't want her church changing, and she was going to keep it from happening. And it worked. Her witchcraft worked. Well, if the people had been on their toes to this, they never would have let it happen. They would have realized what was happening when she called them. Okay, well, this won't happen to you, but you need to teach people. You need to teach those people in your church. And they need to know how to avoid this witchcraft influence and how to try the spirits. I am trying to sound the alarm. I like what Martin Luther King said when he said, take a stand. He said, quote, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of a challenge and controversy. This subject of witchcraft in our society is very controversial. There are Christians who will defend. How many people have you heard defend Harry Potter?
Oh, yeah.
Is there anybody in here who hasn't heard somebody defend Harry Potter? You know, okay, if they're not a Christian, that's okay. They don't know any better. Hopefully, you'll get them saved. You won't talk about Harry Potter, you'll talk about the Lord, and you'll get them saved, and then maybe they'll be able to understand. But if it's a Christian, we need to take a stand. We need to not let it happen, because what's happening is Revelation 18:23. This is happening, and we want to be a light in this happening. There's nothing you can do to stop this from happening. It's going to happen. But we're going to take as many people to heaven with us as we can, and we're going to stop a lot of people. We're going to get a lot of people out of the darkness, and it's not going to happen for them. Revelation 18:23. The last part of the verse says, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And one of the things that, besides the witchcraft in the church and tricky witchcraft like television and rebellion,
There are the main, let me see, oh, there's a lot of places where you can get information on witchcraft. I brought some books to show you, and Dr. Knoll's tapes are wonderful. But I want to zero in on one subject today in the last little bit of time that I've got, because we do want to cast out some demons. Harry Potter. I've been doing a study of witchcraft for about 2 years, ever since Dr. Knoll got me started. I started listening to Dr. Knoll, and he sounded the alarm in my mind, and I realized that I knew very little about it, and I needed to learn. So I've been studying the subject for 2 years, and one of the parts of that subject that I've been studying is Harry Potter. Oh, there's one subject I need to bring up before I go to Harry. There are real witches in our churches. Real witches. Not Christian witches. Not television. Not controlling pastors, but real witches. And what they do is they, well, we need to be aware. And this is kind of a nifty little book. There's not a lot to it. It's Dr. A-O-I-T-I-O-L-A, Witchcraft in the Church. I don't know if I got this here or not. But anyway, he brings up things like... they're into the church for various reasons. Three main reasons. One, to introduce immorality into God's house. They are, the witch, whether it's male or female, is there to seduce in all kinds of ways. Sexually, in all kinds of ways. To seduce you out of Christianity, to seduce you into lies, believing the wrong thing. Some of the things that they can do is they can cause, witches can cause bad things to happen in your church. That's one of their goals, one of their missions. I knew a pastor that, he was a wonderful pastor, and he had a witch who was sent, and this was years ago. The face of witchcraft is changing in this country. It's changing into seemingly benign, sweet white witchcraft. It's just a religion, and we all have religious freedom. That's what it's changing into. And I'm not going to have time to hit that subject today. I wanted to talk more about modern witchcraft. Maybe another day I'll do that. But this year, was years ago, he had a witch assigned to him. It's much worse today. This happened 20 years ago. He had a witch assigned to him to ruin his ministry. Praise the Lord, she failed, but they did end up in divorce, and her kids ended up in mental institutions. And he spent the rest of the last 20 years getting his kids mentally straightened out. But she couldn't destroy his ministry, so the reason they ended up in divorce was because she started doing things like with dolls. She had placed curses on dolls, and the dolls were attacking the children, and then the kids were afraid she was going to kill their father, so they stayed up at night to watch him so that he could sleep. They took turns. This is the way they lived. They put pots and pans in front of the door so that she couldn't go in and kill him. And finally, they ended up in divorce. But that's the kind of thing the witches are sent to the churches on purpose for. And there's a lot of books out on that very subject. They are causing mysterious evil occurrences to befall. I was going to maybe, I'm not going to read, but let me just read one verse, Revelation 2:14. This is on the subject of, it leads voluntary and involuntary initiation into witchcraft. That's another purpose. There's three main purposes. One, to lead people into immorality. Number two, to cause bad things to happen to people in the church. Various different, they can, through spells, potions, hexes, they cause things to happen. Another thing is it leads into the voluntary and the involuntary initiation of church members into witchcraft. And verse Revelation 2:14, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Now, one of the ways that, like one whole church group was fed a bunch of candy that was that had a hex or a spell on it or something like that, and caused a lot of problems. And then another big thing that witches do, there's other ways that they initiate. I know a fellow that he was led out of the church and into witchcraft. I mean, the witch became a leader in the church, sitting on the front row.
And she got people out of the church and into witchcraft. It was very subtle, and she, of course, they didn't tell anybody, she didn't tell anybody, and she got several people before she was found out. But another thing that they do, another thing on their agenda is sowing discord among the brethren. And that's that I was telling you about a Jezebel witch in the church that caused the church to break up and split and the pastor to get fired. But there are real witches that are in churches to cause that very thing. Now, on the subject of Harry Potter, That's right. It's the spirit of Antichrist. They spend their time working on that and teaching a bloodless Christianity. One fellow got in this book. They talk about how he got the Sunday school teacher in trouble with the pastor because he raised a stink over the blood of Jesus. And somehow this witch got the attention of the pastor, when really it should have been the Sunday school teacher that the pastor was backing. But those are the kinds of things and the goals and the purposes of real witches in the church. But one of the things that got me on the subject of Harry Potter is I had heard the various different controversies among Christians about what's so bad about Harry Potter. I heard that. I didn't know anything about Harry Potter, so what did I know? I didn't know who Harry was. This was about 3 or 4 years ago. And it's hard to believe that I could be my head in the sand. And not, see, I'm trying to get Christians, you to sound the alarm among Christians to get their heads out of the sand. My head should have been out of the sand long before 4 years ago, but it wasn't. I didn't know much about Harry Potter. Okay, so I decided when I was on an airplane, they were showing a Harry Potter movie for free. And I thought, oh, well, this is going to be a good opportunity to find out what's all the hullabaloo about Harry Potter. Because I'd had Christians tell me, Harry Potter's not so bad. I don't know what people are so upset about. And these are Christians, people I have confidence in that know the Lord. Say that. So I'm thinking, maybe there's nothing so bad about Harry Potter. So I look at the movie. Done with the movie, and I was floored. It was much worse than I thought it was going to be. Much worse. And I just want to go over just a few points on that subject about what's so bad about Harry Potter. If I can find those notes. The Potter mania has been going on a long time. And the influx of people into the Wiccan religion, witchcraft religion, the modern Wiccan religion, when I say modern, I'm talking about the last 15 years, which the face of witchcraft has changed a little bit over the last 15 years. My husband and I, about 30 years ago, met someone who called himself a witch. He called himself a white witch. And he didn't think there was anything bad about his white witchcraft. And we pointed out some of the things that he did and what was wrong with it. Now, he had a frame of reference of good and evil that's different 30 years ago than it is today. Kids that Luann knows, they don't have this frame of reference. We've got to start from square one and give them the frame of reference of the difference between good and evil. He thought that, excuse me, he thought that turning the lights on and off in his apartment building because he was mad at people in the apartment building was not a bad thing. Because we were trying to point out the things that he did, but how can you call this white witchcraft? And he said, but see, today, 30 years later, Wiccans are saying, oh, we do no harm. We believe in no harm to anyone. We just do our thing and we don't harm anybody. Well, the harm that is happening through the modern witchcraft is just as bad today as it was then. He was doing things like, well, I'm not going to go into all of that, but he would aggravate his neighbors, and he thought he was a white witch. And he had a circle, this fellow right here, Snowbell, and his is so interesting, this book, because he was of the Wiccan era of this witch I'm telling you about. And he's got some very interesting things to say about his form of witchcraft. His form of witchcraft is still around today.
what you hear about the publicity of this Wiccan religion, that it's benign and that they don't hurt anybody, it's not much different than this. And it's, and
here we go.
These are just verses on biblical verses. This witch right here knew that he was worshiping Satan. It took him a couple of years, a few years, to realize that his worship was a form of Satan. But our witch that we met in Selma, Alabama, had the same kind of circle in his room that we saw, and his altar was there in the room that this fella had. Now this guy in Selma, Alabama said, "Oh, I'm a white witch, I never hurt anybody." The Wiccans today who talk about their wonderful witchcraft that's benign and doesn't hurt anybody, it's just a religion. We just worship our gods. Same philosophy, except that they're trying to make you think it's benign. It's the same philosophy as this guy who thought he was worshiping Satan, and the same philosophy of this guy who was a white witch, and we were in his room, and he had the same altar that this guy had, and he told Mike, he said, "Don't go in there, because if you go in that circle, you'll get thrown across the room." This guy saw many people thrown across the room. Same era. This guy thought he was worshiping Satan. This guy thought he was worshiping Diana. The Wiccan religion today thinks they're worshiping Diana and many other gods. But there's as many witches out there as a different philosophy. So we could spend all day going over the various different types of witchcraft. So Mike said, "Oh no, in the name of Jesus, I'm fine." And the guy, and he not only stepped in there, he walked and he stood there. And the guy was flabbergasted because whenever he tried to go in the circle, he was thrown across the room. Okay, well, the whole reason we were there talking to him is because we had been talking to him about the Lord and getting saved, and that he needed to get rid of his white witchcraft. And he said, well, he still didn't believe. He said, "I don't know. He didn't want to give up Diana because Diana came to him every night and had sex with him, and she was a beautiful goddess." And Mike said, "Oh no, she's not a beautiful goddess. She's a big, hairy, ugly demon." And he said, no, I don't believe that it's big, hairy, ugly demon." So we're right there in the middle of his room, and we are praying. We say, "Lord, let him see that what she really is." And that night, the big, ugly, ugly, hairy demon came instead of Diana. It scared him so bad, he left town immediately. But this fellow Snowbell, and he's got some very interesting, he's got an interesting website that I thought that I would just give you in case you want it. Because on the website, you can download this about Straight Talk on Harry Potter. And we think that, let me just give that to you real quick. It's www.withoneaccord.org. And we think that Harry, we listen to people say that Harry Potter is benign. There's a controversy that says, "Oh no, Harry doesn't teach witchcraft. Our kids can't learn witchcraft from the Harry Potter books." You decide. Let me read this list to you. This is stuff that's mentioned in the Harry Potter books. Animal sacrifice of a cat. Non-magicians like you and I are portrayed as, well, that's something else. Dull. Power is the ultimate moral choice. Blood sacrifices. Cutting off the hand of a living person for a ritual. Boiling what seems to be a baby or a fetus alive in a cauldron. Possible demon possession. Werewolves and vampires. Bringing an evil wizard back from the dead through shedding of blood. Is this the kind of thing you want your grandchildren and your children thinking is fine? Because that's what the publicity out there is. That Harry Potter's fine. It's just fantasy. It's just fantasy. It's just fiction. This stuff is in the Harry Potter books. All the Harry Potter books. And kids are reading them. 6, 7, 8-year-olds are reading them several times. One of the biggest readerships of Harry Potter books are men from age 25 to 35. I saw in a rental store one time, I saw a kid yell across the store to his dad, Dad, the new Harry Potter movie's over here!" And the father came running over, and the father was more interested in learning it than the kid was. I was shocked. Astral projection or astral travel, travel casting spells and levitation, being able to shape shift into an animal, crystal gazing or divination. A hero, Harry, who tells lies, steals, breaks the rules, and cheats by copying other students' homework. Talks about how bad muggles are. Do we know what muggles are?
No.
You're a muggle. Do you believe that the witchcraft is good?
No.
You're all muggles. You know how they talk about muggles in the book? We're stupid. We're stupid and narrow-minded because we don't believe in witchcraft. Because we think witchcraft is bad. And kids are out there talking about muggles. We're muggles. We've got to nip this stuff in the bud. We're not muggles. We're children of God. Okay. Approval of astrology. Being taught that people exist without their souls. Communion with the dead. Harry takes mind-altering drugs. The use of the Hand of Glory. It's a grisly occult artifact that is severed hand of a hanged murderer. Its fingers are lit and burned as candles. The hand is placed in a house to make everyone in the house fall into a spell. The use of magic charms, belief that death is just the next great adventure. Reincarnation is taught in the Harry Potter books. I want to, this list goes on and on. You can get your this on that Snowbellin site. It's www.withoneaccord.org. But I thought this was so interesting. This is an article that came out the other day about the last book that was out. Now, prior to the last book coming out, Harry Potter record books broke records, broke three publishing records, and this latest book broke all of Harry Potter records. And one of the things I was going to mention to you here is that the author herself, on the Diane Rehm show on a national public radio program, the author said, she was interviewed by Diane Rehm. It's a famous program. I actually haven't heard Diane Rehm, but so many people may have heard of Diane Rehm. And the author has a master's degree in mythology from Exeter University in England. Her name is J.K. Rowling, said that one-third of her Harry Potter material is based on actual occultism. Now, that's what she says herself.
Yeah.
And we some Christians have the audacity to say there's nothing wrong with Harry Potter.
About 2 years ago, there was a group of us in the Hospital of Prayer, the negative film, spoke of this. And she was quoted, after the first book, she was quoted, the author was quoted, saying that Harry Potter has done more for the promotion of witchcraft in this society.
That's exactly right. That was a quote that I was going to give. I'm so glad you said it. No, I don't have time. I'm glad you said it. Because I wanted you to. I was going to quote another one that I don't have time to give that is the PR people for the Wiccan religion in England say the same thing. They say we've been inundated with calls and new members into the Wiccan religion because of Harry Potter. I mean, they're giving Harry the credit. Christians have got to give Harry the credit. They've got to give Harry a good part of the credit for this inundation of witchcraft in our society. Harry is part of the reason why there are so many programs on TV about witchcraft.
Yeah.
And we need to sound the alarm. This is interesting. An unbeliever, Al Newhart, he's the founder of USA Today. In the newspaper USA Today, after the latest book came out, you know, it just happened about a month ago, July 22nd. He was comparing Harry with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. At that point, he said that Harry Potter and the Half-Moon Prince sold 6.9 million books in the first 24 hours. That's like the last one was 5.3 million in a week. That's 6.9 in 24 hours. This thing is mushrooming. It's translated into 200 languages all over the world. This is not just happening in the U.S. Harry and witchcraft is taking over all over. What was that verse that I read about? This is my theme verse for the program. Was I don't know if anybody wrote it down. I lost it. Yes, Revelation 18. Anyway, it's basically that verse says that the nations are deceived by your sorceries. The nations are deceived by sorcery. Sorcery is something that is being so pervasive in our society that if you haven't been affected by witchcraft yet, you will be. So you're going to be on your toes, and it's not going to happen. And if it does happen, you're going to get it cast out. You're going to cast it out of yourself. You're going to cast it out of your friends. You're going to come to Lake Hamilton and cast witchcraft out of other people. Anyway, let me back to this article. This fellow, Al Newhart, that started the USA Today paper, was comparing, even with discounts up to 50% off the $29.99 cover price, the take was over $100 million. That's with a 50% discount in the first 24 hours. That's just mind-boggling. And he said about his daughter who got a Harry Potter book, he said, this week I've noticed few pages turned in her Harry Potter book. And that's fine with me. I've read all 652 pages of my copy. Conclusion? This book is not really for kids. Too much grown-up sex, sin, and death replaced the youthful charm and intrigue of the earlier Potters. Now, I don't believe there was any intrigue and charm of the earlier Potters. I'm saying the Potter books are getting worse, and he says it too.
Yes.
So, if your children want to see Charlie twice rather than Harry once, read Harry once, take them. Buy them extra chocolate for their good taste. Now, this is an unbeliever. If unbelievers can see it, then the people that we know, our Christian friends, need to begin to see it. I just talked to somebody the other day that said, no, Harry Potter's just fiction. It's just fantasy. I don't have time to go. I was going to give you several points that show that it's not fantasy at all. It's truth mixed with facts. One of the things that Dumbledore says, I just don't have time to talk about it. It's amazing. He talks about, well, being loyal and being upright, faithful, and he talks about how witchcraft, and then a couple pages later, he says, you be loyal to witches. Witches is the thing that's good. The loyalty is to witches, not muggles. We're muggles. Do you want your kids to learn that they're not supposed to be loyal to you? Or do you want them to... we want our kids to learn what the Bible says. The Bible says that witchcraft is an abomination. And we believe what God says. We believe that witchcraft is an abomination. And we need to start stopping witchcraft in its tracks. There are 450,000 websites of Harry Potter related websites. There is so much information about how to be a witch on the internet. It's just mind boggling. One of the things in this same paper, if there's a cartoon, the father is speaking to the mother and the little boy is reading Harry Potter on the floor. Little looks like a 7-year-old kid. So it's nice to see him reading instead of playing video games. And the little kid is thinking, I wonder when the video game on this book is coming out. But that's what kids are thinking.
Uh-huh.
The kids are into witchcraft. They don't see what's wrong with witchcraft. Harry Potter is teaching them that there isn't anything wrong with witchcraft. And like I said, I could go on and on for hours about Harry, but I'm not going to because I want to address, we've been sitting for a long time. I want you to have just a little break before the next meeting, but I want to cast out these demons that you've been writing down on your cards. I want you to write down, if you think of anything else now, I do want to say one other thing about some influence that I met somebody
who's been influenced recently by witchcraft, and you may find some of this in your life too. Two people. One, when she went to a Christian meeting, Christian Bible study. This was in Texas,
And the person that was having the Bible study told each one of them to bring an object from home. And so then when they all got to the Bible study, she said, put your objects on the table here, and now everybody come up and get an object that is not yours. Now, you have the object that is not yours. I want you to prophesy to the person whose object that is. That is nothing but divination. That is nothing. There's nothing that has anything to do with that from the Lord. That is, the Lord does not bless that kind of thing. We need to be on our toes to see these things. Another person, she was, her husband, she and her husband were very happy. In fact, this is somebody I just met recently. She and her husband were very happy. They were planning to have kids. And suddenly, he leaves her for another woman. And she finds out that this woman had gone over the border to Mexico to hire a Catholic witch to put a hex or a spell or a charm on her husband, on this man, so that he would fall for her. She paid the witch. She got the charm. I don't know exactly what all it was. It may have been a thing, an object. You know, I don't know what it was. But it worked. He left his wife for her. And this same person who paid the witch is getting charms and potions to heckle her with. She goes into her house and finds that her house has been broken in, and she finds these witchcraft charms and things. Because the woman is hiring the witch to keep her from having an influence over her own husband. Not working with her, because she's a Christian. And she knows what to do. She was in her backyard, and she saw one of the things that's listed in Harry's book, bird entrails. Bird entrails on her patio, and she knew exactly what it was because she's informed. She knew it had to do with that witch that got her husband. Now, well, the witch didn't get her husband. The woman paid the witch to get her husband for her. Well, she's fighting back. She's a Christian. She's not going to let him just go to the witch. She's going to do what she can to get what's rightfully her husband. Rightfully hers. Okay. I'm going to just tell one other story before I take up the cards. In fact, Cheryl, would you take up the cards? A lot of your witchcraft today talks about a lot of the witchcraft today talks about how this religion, it's just a religion. It's just, we worship the gods and goddesses. We worship nature. It's a benign religion. It's you don't bother us, we won't bother you. We believe in no harm to anyone. We believe in reincarnation. We believe that the devil is the Christian devil. We know good and well the devil isn't the Christian devil. The devil's been around for many, since the Garden of Eden. It's no more Christian than that, but that's what they teach people. That's what they teach kids on the internet that know zero. Yeah. Those kids don't know anything. They're starting from square one. Anyway, a witch that I recently started talking to and trying to help her out and get loose from some of the entrapment, she said, oh no, when I got into witchcraft, I knew right away that it was of the devil. She said, no, I thought through that. I learned right away that it wasn't a benign. I knew it wasn't benign. But I wanted to get pregnant. And I made a pact, a contract with the devil, with a blood sacrifice, and I got pregnant. And she was hooked. She was hooked for 15 years. But she knew from the get-go that it was Satanism. Okay, now this fella didn't find out until the end that it was flat-out Satanism, because what did he become? He became a vampire. And you know how he finally decided that this was not good? Remember what the Dr. Noel that was talking about? Eating of blood gives the killer instinct. Well, for quite a number of years, witches were giving him blood to drink voluntarily. And that was fine. He drank their blood and he said, no harm. They're giving me their blood. I'm drinking the blood. But he said the more he drank, the more he was influenced and the more he wanted, and he started to realize that he didn't want voluntary blood. He wanted to murder for the blood. And that scared him so badly that that's what caused him to become a Christian. Well, anyway, some of these books that I quoted from, you can get this book here. This is one of the best books on the subject. Steve Roberg, The Hour of the Witch. Harry Potter, Richard Abanes, the Harry Potter and the Bible, The Menace Behind the Magic. A lot of these books are really, really, really good. But let us go to getting rid of our witchcraft spirits. Because a lot of times you think that you've been working on them. You think you've gotten rid of all your witchcraft. But maybe you forgot about the lady that sits next to you in your church who is really influencing you. Who Patty sits next to you. Jane's laughing. It doesn't have to be the lady that sits next to you. There's a lot of influence. You can turn on TV and find witchcraft influence on Christian stations. They're trying to influence you in opening your pocketbook. They're using Christian witchcraft. There's all kinds of Christian witchcraft. I should have mentioned that. You might have put some of that down on your card. But anyway, what I want you to do is just repeat just a couple of quick prayers, because we don't have to, because Dr. Null really set the stage for this in a lot of the things that he said. So we don't have to go over all of that. Like I said, if you want to learn more about witchcraft, some of the best tapes on the subject are right here at Lake Hamilton. Ask Patty. She'll lead you in the right direction. So I just want to go over two prayers. I want everybody to stand up and repeat after me. Just two short prayers. And just say after me. Father, I come now in the name of Jesus. I believe the Son of God that takes away, in the Son of God that takes away the sins.
I believe in the Son of God that takes away our sins.
Of those who repent and confess Him as Lord.
Of those who repent and confess Him as Lord.
Father, this day I come to confess as sin.
Father, I come to confess as sin.
And renounce any contact.
And renounce any contact.
With witchcraft and false religions.
With witchcraft and false religions.
I hate Satan.
I hate Satan.
His demons and his work.
His demons and his work.
In particular, I confess and renounce the following.
In particular, I confess and renounce the following.
And just say, I renounce all the things I put on the card.
I renounce all the things I put on the card.
I also confess and renounce as sin.
I also confess and renounce as sin.
Any contact that I cannot remember.
Any contact that I cannot remember.
I count all that offends you.
I count all that offends you.
Lord is my enemy.
Lord is my enemy.
Father, I want to be holy even as you are holy.
Father, I want to be holy even as you are holy.
Father, I thank you for forgiving me.
Father, I thank you for forgiving me.
And now I am clean. Well, I don't want to read the rest of that. I was only going to read part of it. Now we're on to the last one. Okay, this prayer is more specifically to Christian witchcraft. Our dear Heavenly Father, please forgive us for practicing charismatic witchcraft.
Please forgive us for practicing charismatic witchcraft.
We forgive those who have practiced Christian witchcraft against us.
And forgive those who have practiced charismatic witchcraft against us.
We break the power of the ruler of demons.
We break the power of the ruler of demons.
Over every family and organization.
Over every family and organization.
We break demonic ties.
We break demonic ties.
And bonds.
And bonds.
And soul ties.
And soul ties.
To pastors.
To pastors.
Religious leaders.
Religious leaders.
Or any Christian who has been trying to control me.
Or any Christian who has been trying to control me.
We break curses placed on us by submitting our wills to others.
We break curses placed on us by submitting our wills to others.
We break curses brought by charismatic witchcraft and control.
We break curses brought by charismatic witchcraft and control.
Too much. Okay. We break curses brought on.
We break curses brought on
by charismatic witchcraft and control.
By charismatic witchcraft and control.
We break the curse of Jezebel and Ahab.
We break the curse of Jezebel and Ahab.
We renounce false gifts.
We renounce false gifts
given by Satan.
Given by Satan.
We drive out all the demonic works.
We drive out all demonic works.
And associated spirits.
And associated spirits.
Of witchcraft and mind control in the name of Jesus.
Of witchcraft and mind control in the name of Jesus.
Now, I'm not going to go over prayers for generational curses because we've done that. I think everybody's done that this week. You can sit down. Now, I didn't mean, I hope nobody put their name on here. I didn't mean for you to put your name on here. But what I want you to do is just real quickly, I want to go over a couple of things about mass deliverance in case you haven't been in a lot of mass deliverance. I think it was really good what some of the things that that Dr. Knoll said. And of course, I lost that one. I just don't want to miss any points. If I tell you to cough, it's because I want you to, it's like priming the pump. What, it comes out of the air passages. Demons come out. Dr. Knoll explained all that. I was going to kind of explain that. I don't have to. So Dr. Knoll went over that. Praise the Lord. I've named people to help. And basically, the reason I've named certain people to help is, like I said, they understand the benefit of regular deliverance. They come for regular deliverance. They're going to have other opportunities to get deliverance. And I don't know, some of the people here, I don't know how often you're going to be able to get here or how often you're planning to come back, but I know you may not have as many opportunities for mass deliverance. Jane and Cheryl go to this church, Patty. They get the opportunity all the time. They understand that deliverance is not a happening. It's not an event. It doesn't happen once and you're done. You may have forgiven somebody yesterday, but that doesn't mean you're not going to take it back tomorrow. You're going to have to get rid of that unforgiveness as you go. It's a lifestyle. Deliverance is a lifestyle because, like I said, unforgiveness is one of the biggies. Because you can get rid of, you can work on occult things, and you can be on your toes to keep the occult from coming back and keep the witchcraft from being a sin in your life. But things like unforgiveness, which is an open door, that's going to be a battle for the rest of your life. And you're going to need deliverance for the rest of your life. So they understand that, and basically the reason why I've had people like that ask them to help when they need it is because I want you to tend to your own knitting. The only person that may not tend to their own knitting, and you all know what that means don't help other people with their deliverance because it's distracting. They're trying to concentrate on these things I'm going to read off the cards. They're trying to concentrate on their own deliverance. They're trying to listen to me. Look at me. When I say take a deep breath, they're going to take a deep breath. When I say cough, they're going to cough. And they don't need you trying to help them with their deliverance because that's not helping. The people that I've named that are going to help with deliverance, they have helped with deliverance a lot, and they know when to help. They know when you need help, and they're going to come and help you. So the person sitting next to you does not need to help you. This is important because you can distract somebody who came here to get deliverance. You can stop their deliverance by helping them. I think that's just about the other pointers that Dr. Knoll went over. Don't pray. Take deep breaths. Take cough, cry, burp, throw up. Do anything that out of the air passages because demon means pneumo, which means wind. And that's generally how they come out. But they come out other ways too. But those are the main ways. So that's the reason why I say take a deep breath. Breathe in, breathe out, take a cough. You know. And if you're burping like crazy, one of these people might come up and they might help you keep burping. But if the only time that this thing, tend to your own knitting, does not apply is if you are a mother. There may be some mothers here. You can help your daughter. Because in many cases, even if they're married, you still have an influence that can help your daughter. So I don't want to see anybody helping anybody unless you're a mother. Okay. Now, the best thing to do is keep your eyes open and your mind on what I'm saying and take deep breaths because one of the things it does, besides priming the pump, is it lets you're concentrating on thinking things like, I don't want this. Lord, I don't want this. This is not my friend. This is my enemy. I want to get rid of this. So You're taking deep breaths, you're breathing, you're coughing, you're doing whatever to concentrate on what I'm saying to get rid of anything that you might think, oh, that could be. And even if you think that couldn't be, it could be your great-grandmother had it. Get rid of it, okay? I think everybody knows what I mean. There's a lot of things my grandparents were into, and I just keep getting deliverance from witchcraft, even if I think I've gotten it all of it. I still keep getting it because I don't know what my grandparents were into. I'm afraid I might have missed something. Okay, now remember, everybody's got rebellion. So I'm just going to start with rebellion. In the name of Jesus, I command rebellion to come out. Rebellion, in the name of Jesus, come out. Come out. Take deep breath. Cough. Come out in the name of Jesus. Everybody here has rebellion. So we're going to get rid of rebellion. Rebellion, you go. 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 Rebellion. Pride. Stubbornness. Stubbornness in the name of Jesus. Jezebel in the name of Jesus. Come out. Any witchcraft that you have had influence in your church, come out. People. People. In the name of Jesus. The spirit of women, spirit of men, spirit of pastors, soul ties of pastors. I would break the soul ties of pastors, and I command you to come out. Break soul ties with Christian leaders, and I command you to come out. You break those soul ties, come out. Go. Go. Soul ties, go. Soul ties, go. In the name of Jesus, come out. Come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Out. Pastor influence, come out. Books. Books that I have been influenced by. Books. In the name of Jesus, take a deep breath, cough. That influence of those books, come out. If you haven't burned those books, burn them. Throw them away, burn them in the name of Jesus. Come out. Influence of books. Children's books. Other books. Mothers. In the name of Jesus. Any witchcraft from my mother. In the name of Jesus. From my grandmother. Come out. Out. Any influence that she's had. Soul ties that she's had that passed. Soul ties in the name of Jesus. Come out. Out. Catholicism. Mormonism. Lutheranism. Protestantism. All kinds of churches. In the name of Jesus. Any witchcraft from churches. In Jesus' name. Out. Out. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Out. I cast you out in Jesus' name. Witchcraft from churches. Witchcraft from pastors. Influence. Mind control. Mind control in the name of Jesus. Come out. Mind control in the name of Jesus. Those bands around the mind, in the name of Jesus, I break those bands, come out. The bands around the mind, around the heart, in Jesus' name, out, out. I loose you, in Jesus' name, I loose you. I break them, I break them, I break them. I break those bands of mind control from various different places, from TV, from movies, in the name of Jesus, from pastors. In the name of Jesus, mind control, come out, out, out. Mind control, out, in Jesus' name, out, out. Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism, being baptized for the dead, any influence in the past, relatives that may have been baptized for the dead in the name of Jesus, come out, out. Fairy tales from your past that influenced you, dolls from your past that may have influenced you, dolls and potions and charms. Jewelry, in the name of Jesus, jewelry that you've worn that may be influenced by witchcraft and you didn't even know it. In the name of Jesus, come out. Take a deep breath, come out. Most everybody's worn some kind of jewelry that has been glorifying to the devil or witchcraft or the occult. So in the name of Jesus, all influence of jewelry, come out. Out. Out in Jesus' name. TV programs like Charmed or Medium or Bewitched, in the name of Jesus. Any influence or any witchcraft that could have come in from something like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Smurfs were nothing but wizards. In your childhood, you may have got a snow soul tie from Smurfs. In the name of Jesus, Smurfs have been known to kill children in Argentina. In Jesus' name, come out. Out. Out in Jesus' name. Any Smurf influence, come out. Out in Jesus' name. Generational manipulation from relatives in your past. Mind control and manipulation from relatives in your past. Relatives in your present. Manipulation from your mother-in-law. That's a type of witchcraft. Any kind of manipulation. Anything that could have put mind control on you in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Pokemon cards. Various different games and all kinds of games. In Jesus' name. Dungeons and Dragons. Pokemon. Harry Potter demons, in Jesus' name, come out, out. Any influence that your grandchildren may have, soul ties to Harry Potter for your children, in Jesus' name. Pencil, needle, and string, come out. Fortune telling, go out. Mediums, come out, in Jesus' name. Taking advice from anybody that could be influenced by a witch. Taking advice of any kind. Taking advice from mediums, in Jesus' name, come out. Advice from someplace that's not God. Inquiring of anywhere but except God. Inquiring of astrology, in Jesus' name, astrology, come out. Inquiring anywhere but God, in Jesus' name. Indian ancestors, anything, any kind of Indian influence from the United States, Indian influence from Hindu religion, in Jesus' name, Hindu various different artifacts, figurines, various different figurines that have witchcraft attached to them, whether it's something from Haiti or Mexico or Catholic or even Buddhist, any kind of jewelry. Any kind of word curses in the name of Jesus, word curses from friends, word curses from Christians, word curses from Christians who don't know their witches, from Christians who do know their witches, not Christians, people who think they're Christians, in the name of Jesus, word curses, I command that word curses come out. Been cursed by various words of various people, cursed by words from pastors, in the name of Jesus, word curses. Come out. You've been spoken to, you've been lied to, that lie comes out. Out in the name of Jesus, the lies. The lies that have been spoken to you through your mother, through your grandfather, through your father. Any kind of control over you, anybody that may have tried to talk you into anything that's sinful, anything like abortion, in the name of Jesus, come out. Out. Word curses from your doctors. The witchcraft from your doctors. Your doctors have told you a lie. They've told you things that are not in the Word of God. They didn't mean to, but they did in the name of Jesus. They're word curses. They didn't know that they were speaking against the Lord. Come out, out. Words from doctors in the name of Jesus. Words from relatives. Words from your New Age relatives. Words from your relatives that are into other religions. In the name of Jesus, come out. Out in Jesus' name. Out. Out. Witchcraft prayers in the name of Jesus. You don't know sometimes when witchcraft prayers have influenced you. You don't even know it. Witchcraft prayers that come against every prayer that may have affected everybody in this room. Every witchcraft prayer in the name of Jesus, you come out. Demon that came in through a witchcraft prayer, I command you, come out. Demons that came in from chicken charming, in the name of Jesus, come out. Charms and voodoo and talismans and potions, in the name of Jesus, I command every demon that came in from a potion, come out. Every demon that came in from a charm, come out. Every demon that caused you problems from charms and potions that you knew nothing about. Things that were prayed over and given to you. Things that were prayed over and given to you in the name of Jesus. You received something you didn't even know it had a witchcraft prayer on it. In the name of Jesus, come out. Out in Jesus' name. Demons that have come across from the television programs. That have come across from television programs and Indian ancestors. In Jesus' name, those demons that you didn't know you were receiving from television. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, come out. Those various kinds of mind control from television. In Jesus' name. TV mind control in the name of Jesus, come out. Come out. Wicked influence of any kind, come out. Wicked religion, wicked gods. Gods of the wicked religion, come out. Influence of the gods that come from the wicked religion. There's a thousand different gods. The Lord and the Lady, in Jesus' name. The Lord and the Lady, come out. Influence from the Lord and the Lady. Reincarnation influence in the name of Jesus. Any spirit that got in through influence of reincarnation. Reincarnation, come out. Out in the name of Jesus. All lies to you about afterlife. Afterlife, lies. Lies about the afterlife. Reincarnation, spirits of reincarnation, come out. Spirits of reincarnation and afterlife. Horoscopes, in the name of Jesus. Horoscopes, astrology, reading tea leaves, reading tarot cards, Ouija board spirits, in the name of Jesus. All spirits of Ouija board, come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Out any curses from witchcraft thing. That's witchcraft thing. Those things happen and you didn't even know it. It may have happened as a child. You don't remember. Anything that you don't remember that was from witchcraft, like Mary Mary or levitation or voodoo curses, Santeria, in the name of Jesus, all spirits from the witchcraft form of Santeria, in Jesus' name, you come out. I command you to come out. You go, go, go. I break your power. I break your Santeria power in Jesus' name. West Indian curses in the name of Jesus. Any kind of Indian curses in Jesus' name. Chant, psychic prayers. Chant, psychic prayers in the name of Jesus. Any spirits that came in through chants and psychic prayers, you come out. Out, out, out. Any kind of entertainment that has come in, any form of entertainment that could be witchcraft entertainment, mind control entertainment, entertainment that's influencing you and you don't even know it, like rock music of any kind, Christian rock music, the influence that's witchcraft beat from the Indian witchcraft beat. In the name of Jesus, you spirits that came in from Indian witchcraft beat, the beat of Indian witchcraft, come out, out. Various different things in the charms that are from witches. Cotton balls in the yard, voodoo, shadow, evil, influence from the book of shadows, influence from the witchcraft book, influence from witchcraft paraphernalia. In Jesus' name, come out. Out in Jesus' name. Bird entrails or bones on the ground, or in your house, or on your house, or in your car. Things that you don't even know about. Various different kinds of witchcraft. Things like the evil eye in Jesus' name. Come out. Influence of evil eye in Jesus' name. Come out. Demons from evil eye, out, out in Jesus' name. Out. Any demon that could have gotten in that way, come out. Out. Any Catholic demons that haven't gotten rid of? Charismatic, Christian, Catholic spirits. Demons that come in from Catholicism, Mariology in Jesus' name. That's the kind of the control of the Catholic Church can be witchcraft. Any kind of Catholic control in Jesus' name. The spirit that got in from the Catholic control in Jesus' name. Come out. Out in Jesus' name. Manipulation of any kind. Manipulation in Jesus' name. Manipulation from offers in Jesus' name. From various different friends. From friends. Manipulation from friends. Witchcraft from friends, and you don't even know it's witchcraft from friends. Either conscious or subconscious. Knowing or not knowing. Witchcraft around your house. Any kind of charms or witchcraft that's been pointed in your direction. Prayers and witchcraft that's pointed in your direction. But maybe in your neighborhood or in your county or in your town. In Jesus' name, I come against and break those. Break those ties. Break that influence. And in Jesus' name, any demons that have been sent and received in Jesus' name, I come against them. Come out right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, come out, out, out. Cherokee Indian witchcraft. Dimple. I've seen dimple on here lots of times. I don't know what dimple is, but spirit of dimple, come out. Several times have been these cards. Come out, out, out in Jesus' name. Mind-altering charms, mind-altering drugs, mind-altering witchcraft drugs, influence of drugs, whether they're any kind of pharmakia, whether it's over-the-counter, under-the-counter, prescribed by doctors or not prescribed, at all. Pharmakia in Jesus' name. All spirits of control through pharmakia in Jesus' name, you come out. You come out. Out in Jesus' name. Control from pastors, drugs, TV shows, relatives, astrology, sin of any kind, animal sacrifice, influence of animal sacrifice, demons that will come in and influence you from animal sacrifice, bloodletting. Bloodletting in Jesus' name. Bloodletting of any kind. Cutting, bloodletting. Blood covenant. Blood covenants of any kind. In Jesus' name, a blood covenant from your past. A blood covenant from your childhood. Spirits of blood covenant, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out. I break your power, you come out, out, out. Come out. I break it, I break it, I break it. In Jesus' name, come out. Any kind of bloodletting. The only blood that we want is Jesus' blood. And Jesus overcomes all the bloodletting. All the influence of blood in your life. In Jesus' name, come out, out. Whether it's a transfusion or a covenant with your friend as a child or whether adultery. Adultery is a blood covenant in Jesus Christ. It's a blood covenant. The passing of blood through adultery is the blood covenant in Jesus' name. I command all spirits that have come in, the blood covenant from adultery, to come out. Out in Jesus' name. There is no influence. You come out. Out in Jesus' name. Magicians, magic, potions, various different kinds of magic TV shows. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. We thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. I'm done. A lot of people put the same things on their cards. You're not alone. Thank you, Lord. So if you want to get more deliverance, stick around. But if you want to go ahead and go, you're free to go.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.